Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
All right, we ready?
We're ready, bro.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, as always, is my stable mate from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. Rich, we had no racing in Brisbane or Sydney on the weekend because of the weather, which probably isn't a great surprise, because if there's anything more certain in life than a shitload of rain in Sydney when it gets around the big days, I'd like to find it.
I live in Sydney, as some people would know. I think we could have got through the day. It was certainly a controversial abandonment or postponement of the meeting. It was very heavy rain in the morning, then it eased off, and I was sitting at home sort of 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no rain. I thought to myself, I reckon they could have got away with that meeting. I presume they just made a call thinking that it was going to rain a lot harder during the day, and that's what's always the issue, the surface water, all that kind of stuff. Gee, it's been pissing down in Sydney ever since. Last night was just torrential rain in the middle of the night. Feels like it's easing off at the moment. I'll be incredibly disappointed if we don't get to race tomorrow. But who knows?
I am a bit surprised, though, because I was under the impression that PVL controlled the weather. and yeah, when they have the big days, it seems to rain. So that goes...
He seems to have everything else under control, and he needs to work out what's going on with the weather. Absolutely. Maybe that's why. He can't do three things: control the weather, NRL, and racing. So he's got to decide.
This is true.
Two of the three, not all three.
Well, you don't have to get anything right when you control the weather. Hey, I just got to give a peek behind the curtain for our viewers, because we've mentioned it before. Now, Rich takes a great deal of pride in his little headlines for the Straight Six. And because of there was no racing in Sydney, we actually spoke on Saturday and we decided we'd do a fast four. However, Rich came back yesterday and said, I've managed to get a Straight Six. And he only did because he had six good headlines and he wanted to use them all and not sacrifice any.
And you know what that means? Do you feel like you're a school teacher marking work on a Saturday afternoon when I send through my...
It's funny because on a Sunday afternoon, I actually am like subbing scripts and doing stuff. So when I just throw yours in, it's similar stuff. But on that note, like at Channel 10, you have the OTSs, which stands over the shoulder, so I'd sit behind the reader. And we take great joy in coming up with those headlines. And I do think you'd be great at that. But there was a time where if we have to drop something for timing reasons, we would sometimes drop the better story because we wanted to make sure our awesome OTS went to air. so that's how much... So I understand where you're coming from. And with that, let's get into our Straight Six.
Let's do it.
The Straight Six.
All right. We make a bit of a habit of pumping up the Noonan boys on this show. And as we mentioned here, when it was said publicly a month ago by which Noonan boy, I can't remember. Lord Infantryman, $26. Nice early play. Now, I didn't take it. I think you might have, Rich, and he was bang on. This was a great win, fast time, strong field, and a horse who's on the up now, definitely having settled into the Australian way of life.
Yeah, so this is probably his career best run. All the other horses had their chance. You got Deny Knowledge, missed the start a little bit. You can see her come into the race late. Zardozi and Itishu, they looked the winners at the 400. It was a big push for Itishu from the Den, and at the 400, I said, it's just going to absolutely shit in Itishu. Didn't happen, sort of died on its run.
Don't want to shit in Itishu. That'd get messy.
Yeah. Itishu probably drops back to the Queen of the Turf, which is 1,600 metres in a couple of weeks' time, and then she's getting sold with the Magic Millions. Zardozi, bit flat-footed, just didn't quite sprint like you'd hope, and Jamie Mellum said that needs further. So do they put her in the Australia in the Sydney Cup? I don't know. She's in a bit of a hard to know what James
she's
Cummings.
She's there and thereabouts, isn't she? Zardozi? Yeah. But she's definitely she's not a top liner by any stretch. Now, as you mentioned, the winner, Light Infantry Man, will go on to the Queen Elizabeth. And just for those playing at home, Queen Elizabeth, Light Infantry Man to defend the Queen Elizabeth was your headline, which is very clever. I said he's not really defending it. He didn't win it last year. But as you pointed out, well, no, the Ma stable did.
That's right.
And it was a mixed race for Ma, the Australian Cup, because Middle Earth was disappointing after his first up win. And obviously Pride of Jenny was also very flat. And it's much like when she went out near favourite in the Cox Plate. If Jenny isn't a long way in front at say, the 400, and I understand that the first 800, she actually went two lengths quicker than last year. So it was more just a matter of the other jockeys not letting her get too far away. And you know that she won't win when she's not far enough in front, because she cannot sustain that the whole way. And there's always going to be swoopers. And she was gone a long way from home, but she's reportedly all good and just coming down from that peak first up at 1800.
Yeah, that's an interesting start. I didn't know that she actually ran earlier fast time than she did in the Australian Cup last year. Only possible criticism of Froggy Newitt is that he should have just let her roll and get out in front, because it seems like if she's not out in front, she sort of just half gives up. Would it have made any difference? Maybe not, or maybe it would have. So the interesting thing now is everything's setting up like it was last year for the Queen Elizabeth. The only thing is getting a much better price. Last year she was $7 or $8. I saw a market that she's $26 in the Queen Elizabeth. And do they bring her up to, you know, to defend her Queen Elizabeth crown? And do they just light her up again and just see what happens?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, they kind of did let her go on the weekend because, like I said, her times were fast enough. I don't know what,
and
what Laurie really could have done. But what was she's got to get? What was like, she before the weekend in the Queen Elizabeth market? She would have been
$8 or $9 or something.
Yeah, geez, you are going to get a price. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. And that Queen Elizabeth is always such a great race. And we've definitely got some big players, obviously, Via Sestina. And the like going to be there, and some internationals as well with the Dubai Honor and Vauban, hopefully. So it's going to be an interesting race regardless. But Pride of Jenny always does add that X factor, whether she's expected to win or not. She's going to make it a truly run race.
Yeah. Middle Earth, a lot of people saying that it was a great run in terms of like a stayer. They're thinking that, you know, possibly looks really good for the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup. I went back and had a look at his run. Fair enough. You know, he was coming on a bit, and 2,000 metres is probably a little bit short for him at that level. Shout out to Ethan Brown.
He's done well, hasn't he?
Good ride by him. He didn't want to have to sprint at the same time as Itishu and Zardozzi, so he took the race to himself and just went hard. Even Kieran Marth said he thought it was a bit ballsy by him to do that, but it paid off for him. He knew he had the best horse in the race at the time. And I really think he's ascending to being a top 10 jockey in Australia. Just handles himself so well. Rode another winner on the day, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But, yeah, I can see him slotting into the top 10 jockeys in Australia and having a superb career. And Feroce just seemed found out at that level. Yeah, just couldn't keep up in the last sort of couple of furlongs.
Very fortunate for part owner of Feroce, Craig McRae, that Collingwood had the bye this weekend to coincide with his run in the Australian Cup. So the Collingwood coach was on deck there. Now let's move on. Sweet Horse Alabama is what you've gone on here with, Rich, which is another fine headline. I was death riding Alabama last in the last 400 because I had $34 about Gallant Sun, who looked very good in second. But yeah. This Kiwi filly, she's a proper sprinter. She was absolutely smashed in the betting, and I'm going to ask Tom Haggard about to what extent later on. But she's quality. However, we will not see her again until her four-year-old season because Kenny Kelso's resisting the temptation to run in the Group 1 Sangster or even the Quokka next month over in WA. He said she needs a rest. It's fair enough. She's a valuable commodity. She's never finished worse than second. She's 6 wins, 9 starts. She's a winner at Listed, Group 3, Group 2. She's beaten a lip in a Group 1 3 starts ago. So she's a proper horse.
Yeah, it was well documented that the Kelsos picked her up when they came over to win the Australian Guineas with Legato on the way home. They went to the Premier Sales and bought her, and what a great purchase. Well, I think she cost $120,000. So they say that they want to come back for springtime. And I think the perfect path that they should follow is Sunshine in Paris last spring. She was first up in the Scirocco, won that, then went on to the Everest, then came down and won the Champion Sprint. And I think that's probably the path that they'll look for. You'd have to think that people will start thinking about her as a possible Everest hopeful. I put a thing up on the Den saying, will she end up in the Everest field? And the general consensus was no. A lot of people were sort of mocking that I'd even put a thing up saying that she'd was to be in the Everest, she'd have to start now. Look, we'll see. You know, she did well. She came over. It was a pretty handy bunch of horses behind her. Certainly better than Listed Grade. You talked about Gallant Sun. Yeah, he was really good. I was listening to Bossy on the wrap. He reckons he's a Group 1 horse in waiting.
Well, Moods has had a massive opinion of this horse since the moment he walked into his stable as a young horse. And he hasn't got too many stars, Moods, at the moment. He's a bit thin at the top end. But I wonder whether that might have been the penny dropping. I hope it was. For obviously, I'm pretty tight with the big fella. So, you know, I'd like to have him have good horses. But that's why I sort of had a little tickle. I only had $10 on it, $34. Sorry. But, you know, he looked good. And if she's as good as what we think she is, then that's a promising run.
Yeah. And a few disappointing efforts. Her first set looked pretty bad. Gatsby's as well. Gatsby's had a few chances this autumn. Has been disappointing. And Vestas as well. They were the three that were well in the market and just showed very little when it was time to fight.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's move on to the staying side of things now. And this was my favourite headline that you produced, and it's probably a little bit inside baseball. Deakin graduates, of course, Deakin University. Deakin's won his place in the Melbourne Cup off the back of this. or as you put it, graduated. Very short price favourite, superb in winning the Roy Higgins, and did it easily. Probably not a horse I think can win the Melbourne Cup, but he's in the race, so he's in with a shot. And well, not many people thought Knight's Choice would win last year, so no. There's that. It was an impressive win.
Yeah, so OTI, another OTI horse. They won this race last year with Mark Twain. Mark Twain, of course, went and missed.
I did rate Mark Twain.
Yeah, it was a huge win. Came flying down the outside. He didn't make the Melbourne Cup, but they're trying to get him into the Cup again. It was a great race, actually. So Berkshire Breeze, who's shown so much potential on many occasions, really dug in and fought hard with Deacon, but Deacon was just too strong. Berkshire Breeze, you'll probably get another chance to get a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup with the Andrew Ramsden, which is in a couple of months' time. And Philip Stokes said that Deacon will go to the paddock now and they'll head towards the Melbourne Cup via the Caulfield Cup.
Well, that's what makes it easier when you win a golden ticket in. And saw this last year with the map, talking to Dan Clark and Ubi McGilvray. It just means you can plot the path. You don't have to worry about trying to, you know, get your levels up and get your your handicap rating and all that sort of things up. You've got the ticket and you can just run in the races you want to run in. That is one element that helps if you're not a superstar. Another peek behind the curtain for listeners. What you didn't see is an edit there when we nearly lost Rich. He's had one of the all-time
something got great, in my throat. It
one of the all-time great coughing fits. And frankly, I thought it was just going to be a solo show with the Dodger today. Anyway,
which would be your dream?
No doubt. I'll get Kings and Tommy in soon, but we'll just roll with one out. Look, we saw the Lindsay Park stable, back to the racing, bring Tatsumuki back a couple of weeks ago to win off a 3.5-year break. And he'll race over the weekend, by the way, and potentially bounce off that into Group 1 in Adelaide. However, back to the weekend just gone, and Joyful Fortune, who resumed here in the Bob Hoisted listed race. He resumed after a 2.5-year break back in January. He was scored the third up win here in the Bob Hoisted. This horse has started his racing career in Hong Kong in 2020. And for those who don't know, have a listen to this. He's had 13 starts for 5 wins. He had a year off after that final Hong Kong start. He came back in a benchmark 70, then went into the 2022 Everest when trained by Mark Newnham. He finished that prep in November 2022, winning the Century Stakes, and we didn't see him again until January. And in that time, he bounced from Newnham to Kieran Maher to Mark Dugan, and as of July last year, to Lindsay Park. So they certainly have patience, those Hayes boys.
Yeah, I've had a little bit to do with the Hayes boys over the years, and one of their mantras is that they think that horses can't win money in the paddock. So I think that they like to try their best with all different kinds of horses, and this isn't a perfect example of it. I don't know if you mentioned it, but 877 days since his last win. Ethan Brown on top again. I think for this horse, I can see them sort of keeping him up through the winter. I think that's his level. There's some good sprint races through the winter. Mornings in Glory had a good winter and then went on to win the Group 1 Moya last year. So I can see it sort of profiling a bit like that, Joyful Fortune.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I text Will yesterday and say, when did you actually get him into your stable? Because he has bounced around. He said, no, he's been in since July last year. So still a fair bit of patience from the boys. Now, we haven't done this for a while, but given there was no racing in the northern states, let's head to Adelaide. Aviatrice won the Matrice Stakes for 3-year-olds over 1,200 metres. I'm not sure why you want to talk about this, as I'm not sure she's a top liner moving forward, but take the floor, my friend.
Well, this could end badly for you because they're going to aim her towards the Sangster and the Goodwood. She's probably a certainty in both of those races now, considering you've decided that she's not .com in the Den Monday quality. But I think we need to start firing up for the Adelaide autumn/winter carnival because it'll be our main focus in a few weeks' time. But solid win by Aviatrice. She was short in the market, did well first up. I think she'll have another run in lesser quality, a Group 3 race, I think, and then she'd be into the Sangster. The Sangster's always a very hot race and... yeah, she might run a race at 15.
You know what I do like about Aviatrice? You know what I do like about her? I like those silks, the David Price, the Price Racing silks. The Western
is that like,
Bulldogs.
It does look like
Western Price is a bit, Price is a mad Western Bulldog supporter.
So it's based off that, is it?
They are absolutely the Western Bulldogs Guernsey silks. Yeah, that's what he does. And he names a few horses. He's very creative. If you ever look deep into the naming of the Price horses, you might have a bit of a chuckle. I won't go into any, but he tries his very best to sneak them past Racing Australia, and he has done it on more than one occasion. Moving on, how do you reckon a Group 1 Tuesday meet will go with the general public, and what sort of attendance do you reckon they'll get on track? Because, as mentioned, he may or may not control the weather. We haven't established that. But Peter Volandis has a lot of power. Can he get the New South Wales government to rush through a public holiday so they can get people through the gates at Rose Hill tomorrow?
Well, funny you should say that. I've actually, PBL reached out to me and asked me to run a bit of a poll, and I did that. Look, let's see what I said. Now that we know that Rosehill meeting has moved to Tuesday, on Tuesday, will you chuck a sickie? And I was very pleased that we had a strong number of votes, a good sample size. 52% of people will be chucking a sickie tomorrow. So I think that that all but confirms it, and I assume that we'll hear later in the day Premier Chris Minns say that it is, in fact, a public holiday on Tuesday, so everyone can enjoy the Tancred a meeting.
There's only one day of the week that I don't work for most of the part. I do occasionally record a show, but it's a Tuesday, so I'll be sitting in my lounge room tomorrow. Actually, no, I won't. I'll be at the Emerald Hotel having lunch with a mate, watching the group ones for sure.
Ones won't be till late, sort of 4 o'clock or something. But
I'll probably be picking kids up from childcare.
And Rog, did you see that the member vote for the sale of Rosehill was postponed? I'm sort of a bit of a proponent for selling Rosehill, but I thought it was crazy that they have postponed the vote. I think there's rumours going around that like 70% of the postal votes were in favour of not selling it. I don't quite understand how they can possibly justify postponing the vote.
Postal votes are still in, if they're already in, they still count when they postpone the actual...
Well, the boys in the den are saying that it's going to be a completely new vote, like everything gets swept away. It all sounds very fishy, and I wouldn't be surprised if, considering it's sort of headed... The Don't Sell Rosehill campaign is headed up by the Waterhouse. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in some legal action to try and stop the postponement of the vote. Seems a bit silly to me, but anyway.
Kai Ying Rising, we did speak about Lindsay Park. Let's talk about their old man, Star Horse. I haven't seen this race, Rich, so I'm watching
this. Well, here you go. Sit back
and
enjoy.
A watch party.
Might have been his best ever win. It was in the Group 2 Sprint Cup over in Sha Tin, and now he'll take on some of the best horses in the world in the Champions Day Sprint, which is the 6th of April, I think. This is 1,200 metres, yeah. So Helios Express is coming into second now. You've got California Spangle finishing out the back there. California Spangle was at his best. He's one of the better sprinters in the world. Hugely dominant win. A lot of the people who have backed him for the Everest are very excited.
Are you one of those people, Richard?
No, I have not. Okay. I have not backed him for
probably the missed Everest. The price, I reckon.
Yeah. Some people are like $10, $15.
Good on them. They love futures markets. All right. I love the Stewart Speed Round. So let's get to that.
Stewart's Room Speed Round.
All right. Pretty speedy speed round today because we've only got, I'm sure Rich wanted me to do Morfordville, but I'm just doing the racing from Flemington on the weekend. Declan Bates, careless riding, severe reprimand from race 5. Johnny Allen, race 8, careless riding, severe reprimand. That would be in the Australian Cup. Horse action. So Langa Nell, who of course actually part owned by my mate Mick Sharkey, first starter, went out favorite, EIPH, so needs a vet clearance to go again. Eden Rose from other mate Mytho, lame, vet clearance from race 3, same race, and again Enchanted Boy, same race, throw condition, vet clearance needed. Shaya in race 8, lame, vet clearance needed. And the stewards will be following up regarding Desert Falcon, Pride of Jenny, Spycaster, and Smoke and Romans. That's about as speedy a steward speed round as you're likely to get. Let's get on to Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's tuck into Cook the Book. And of course, joining us is Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes and also Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolf Den. Tom, let's start with you. Before we get into the wagering that did happen, let me ask about what didn't. What sort of a hole did having the two meetings abandoned, including a dual Group 1 meet in Sydney, what did that have on the book? Like, what sort of percentage turnover compared to a standard Saturday or even a year-on-year from this weekend last year we're looking at?
Yeah, it's disappointing. How boring was it? No Saturday racing in Sydney and Brisbane. Boy, it made for a long afternoon. From a turnover perspective, obviously that does make a big dent. You've got the double whammy there. So normally in an instance where Sydney's off, you often see Brisbane really does spike in turnover, but the double whammy of having them both off obviously does hurt turnover. So turnover year on year, corresponding meeting last year was down 28% from a racing standpoint. So obviously that does have a bit of a dent. Turnover at Flemington though was up year on year, which should come as no surprise. There was still good racing at Flemington and punters were very keen to chime in.
Meanwhile, Morfordville was up 700%.
Adelaide big beneficiaries as well.
If you were to predict what we'll see on Tuesday, Tommy, do you expect many of the casuals to still bet, mainly in the Group 1s, or do you reckon this is going to be largely a betting, a non-event betting wise?
No, I still think we'll see good, very good turnover on Tuesday. Obviously, not quite to the Saturday levels because people do have more responsibilities. But we have seen in previous instances there has been the championships moved to Monday. We saw Magic Millions move to Monday a few years ago. Like the turnover is still quite strong on these rescheduled meetings, particularly when it is high quality racing. So I think we'll see good turnover on Tuesday. And I would wager it'll be the biggest Tuesday we have since that first Tuesday of November.
Kings, I know you already bet pretty much every day. You'd be frothing about a Group 1 on a Tuesday, wouldn't you? I mean, it's better than Coffs Harbour.
Group 1 on a heavy track? Yeah, what can possibly go wrong? Leave me to Evoca and all these out wide joints. That's my go.
How much will it affect you betting on horses that run on Tuesday at their next start, do you think? You know, that three-day shorter turnaround, no matter when it is that a red flag or do you just assess it on a case-by-case basis?
Just a case-by-case basis, really. Everything just gets fed back into the model. But it'd be very interesting to see what happens with scratchings and I don't even know whether they go ahead on Tuesday. Who knows? There's a lot of rain around in Sydney. So it's a real wait-and-see job, I think. It's very hard to predict. And then you've got to wait and see what the tracks are doing. But in general, betting on heavy nines and heavy tens are fraught with danger.
Yep. If it's wet, don't bet, as the old saying goes, but still do. Pride of Jenny Tom, that's a horse who's always popular. And after her first up win over that 1800, was her getting beaten a big result for Ladbrokes? Sort of the fact that Light Infantry Man did have his supporters, did that lessen the profit for you guys?
No, it was a huge result. A huge result, Pride of Jenny getting beaten on Saturday. She was not the best backed horse of the entire day. That was Deacon in the next race, but she was extremely, extremely popular, Pride of Jenny. So she would have been a losing result of just over $700,000. Light Infantry Man was a winning result of $691,000, 527 cents. So you're looking at essentially a $1.5 million turnaround there. So very, very big result there for the book. And essentially that was the difference at Flemington on Saturday.
And was that because there was money for a tissue, there was money for obviously a lot of money for Jenny, money for a tissue, and also money for
Zardozzi.
Yeah, Zardozzi, and also Kieran Maher's other horse in the race, whose name escapes me at this very point of time. But I'd imagine that just pushes it more and more in your favour.
Yeah, absolutely. The two horses that there was strong money for were Pride of Jenny. There was money for Zardozzi, and then a couple of the sharps were on Middle Earth as well. So
that was
those
what
three...
I'm thinking of.
Middle Earth, those three took up a huge percentage of the hold on the race. So Light Infantry Man, percentage-wise, the hold was less than 10%, even though his lead-up form had been quite good. So I know it was a big result for the book there, and it did make a big difference at the end of the day.
Kings, I know you were keen on a tissue in the same way you would be if you had a cold in the middle of winter. Was you not wanting Jenny price-related, or did you just not think she could win that race, given she had first up at 1800?
Yeah, oh, she used price related. She could definitely win the race based on her first up performance, but you're going from 1800 to 2000 and you've got a horse called Deny Knowledge in the race as well that was on paper was going to put a lot of pressure on Jenny. It didn't pan out that way, but it was price related. So in the betting, a tissue on Thursday when we did the Saturday set was about 8.50 and Zardozzi was $7. They both look good prices. They both started around $5 and Jenny eased from 280 out to about 440 or 420, I think she was at the end. And Middle Earth was very easy in betting as well. A couple of the sharper pros stepped in early at the $5 and Middle Earth, Ladbrokes actually really keen to lay Middle Earth. Everyone else was betting 440 and they were 550. But Middle Earth, they got that right. Middle Earth started about $6. But the two they want, Light Infantry Man, the winner was very solid, always around the $10 mark. But I think in the end, the market just found its correct price and what happened? We saw what happened.
Speaking of horses, the market fan, Tom, Alabama Lass was absolutely truckloaded. I imagine the book was cheering for Gallant Sun as much as I was in the closing stages. You mentioned it wasn't your worst result for the day because that was Deacon, but were those two had huge impacts on the book?
Yeah, they were. They were the two worst results of the day. So Deacon was the best backed horse of the day, the highest hold, but the worst result was Alabama Lass. It was a losing result of just over 400,000. If Gallant Sun had won, he would have been a big winner. So you're looking at almost $1 million turnaround there in that finish. So punters were very, very keen Alabama Lass there as well. And then Deacon was really well backed in that Roy Higgins. The hold was almost $600,000 for Deacon. He was the best backed horse of the day. And then a losing result of almost $350,000 as well. So punters got those two races bang on.
The overall result for Flemington, Tommy?
Finished in front, but it was a up and down day. The punters actually won on more races than they lost. On the card, 10 races, punters actually finished in front in 6 of them, including big results with Alabama Lass and with Beacon, but Light Infantry Man being such a big winner. And then our mate Moods helped us out, Rog, in the last. Kodigo, he hasn't had many winners on Saturday of late, Moods, but he helped us out there. That was a big result for the book, a winning result of over 400,000. So that did put the overall day result towards the book, but punters did win on more races than they lost.
He did say on Moody on the mic too that was his best chance for the day.
He gave it a push.
Did I back it? No, I didn't. I backed Gallant Sun instead. different race, obviously. It's all right though, Kings, because punters can win it back on Tuesday. Yes. Is there any plays that you want to have though tomorrow at Rose Hill or on day one of the championships on Saturday? If it is in fact day one of the championships and we don't just have the Tancred meet on Saturday and go back a week.
We don't know what's going on, but if they do go ahead on Tuesday, I thought just the way the track is, I couldn't possibly take $1.60 treasure the moment. I thought Delici Boulevard had a great chance each way in that race. And also Moving Out, I thought was good odds. I was going to back those two to beat Treasure the Moment, but my best bet anyway tomorrow was up in Doomben, race 3, number 2, Adiella, around the even money around the $2 mark at the moment. But we'll just see what happens. But there's plenty of racing going to be on this week because there's so many meetings being washed out. Even today, there's 2 or 3. Yesterday, there was 3 or 4. So we're in for a smorgasbord.
Tom, you live in Brisbane. Are you expecting a race at Doomben tomorrow?
Oh, they'll be racing at Doomben. The weather here the last 2 days has been absolutely perfect. Really good drying weather. So, yeah, they'll definitely be racing at Doomben tomorrow at the very least.
Yeah, what's that old saying in Queensland? Pissing down one day, perfect the next?
Yeah, well, it was very, very ugly here on Saturday. But, no, we've bounced back in a big way. It's nice.
Good stuff. All right, boys, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat to you next week on Cook the Book.
Sneak peek.
Feels weird to do this Saturday when we've still got this Tuesday ahead of us, Rich. But this Saturday, look, a couple of Group 3 handicaps at Caulfield, the Easter Cup over 2,000, the Victoria Handicap over 1,400, and the Redoutes Choice, Redoutes, from the old mate Pumper, 1,100 metres for the two-year-olds. So some interesting races there at Caulfield. And, of course, look, at this stage, Rich, it's day one of the championships. This is where we have the sort of sprint races, which so you've got, like, the Doncaster, the Derby. Obviously, the Derby was the day two of the championships. No. The Sire Produce and the TJ. So, the Oaks is on day two of the championships. So, look, if it goes ahead and if it doesn't rain, it'll be a very interesting day. I do love the championships, but I kind of feel like this year they should just cut their losses and move it back a week.
Push it back a week. Yeah, just back to the Easter Cup at Caulfield. I saw that Chillicap's going to run in that, so that'll be interesting to see how she goes, a three-year-old filly up against the older horses. And in Sydney, we've got some breaking news, which probably won't be breaking by the time this goes to air, but Private Harry has gone to the paddock. He will not be running in the TJ Smith Stakes, which is a little bit disappointing. I would have liked to see him line up.
But they've got all eyes on the Everest now after the purchase last week from
Yulong. $16 million. They bought 50%. So they've had $8 million. They own 50% of him. I think there's all kinds of bonuses and stuff.
I'd imagine there would be like every group one, they have to pay a little bit more or something like that. That's generally how they work.
I'm surprised that I would have thought they would want to have, it looks like he's in red hot form. Great opportunity to win a weight for age sprint race in the TJ Smith Stakes. Yeah, I'm surprised that they've scratched him. He only had one run too. Anyway, that's what they decided to do. So fair enough. And the Derby and the Doncaster, there's races tomorrow. There's the Doncaster Prelude. There's those three-year-old races as well for the Derby horses. That'll have quite a big bearing on who runs in both the Derby and the Doncaster on Saturday.
Mm. It's going to be an interesting day on Tuesday, and I haven't said that for quite some time. But we'll be back to dissect it all. Well, not Tuesday's stuff. We might touch on it. It'll be 6 days old by then, but there could be some newsy angles out of it. But certainly if championships go ahead, and of course the Easter Cup meet at Caulfield, there's always plenty to talk about from the weekend racing, and that's why we do it right here for you on .com and the Den Mondays.
This is correct, and I want to say goodbye. And before I say goodbye, I want to say that we are doing a Mates Mode pot with Ladbrokes on Saturday for day one of the championships.
How did the last one go, Rich?
It went very well. We shot the lights out.
Oh, it did indeed. Yes.
500% return. Don't know if that'll happen again, but we'll certainly be trying.
Oh, it'll be 700. He promises you it'll be 700%.
I do not promise you that. What I do promise you is we'll be back next Monday and try to entertain you again. Have a great week. See you later.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.